You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour two on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I got an update on Trevor Lawrence's status and why he won't be able to play in the Notre Dame game. More of your phone calls as we do every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Is anybody getting traded at the deadline? That'll be tomorrow at 4. And also, Wisconsin will decide tomorrow, reportedly decide tomorrow, if the Badgers are going to play Purdue. I was told last week that it was doubtful they were going to be able to field a team to be able to play Purdue, but they're going to make that announcement official apparently tomorrow. Tampa Bay at the Giants coming up tonight. Steelers are undefeated. Seahawks, Chiefs, Bills all pick up victories. College football-wise, and I watched a lot of it, LSU got smoked. Michigan at home against Michigan State, big surprise. Alabama continues to roll. And Clemson, by the way, is a 7-point favorite at Notre Dame. I got this from my college football source this morning because I was curious that Trevor Lawrence was not going to be able to play. And I thought it was 10 days you had to stay in isolation. And my source this morning said the protocols are closer to 14 days. 10 days is in isolation, then gradual reacclimation. Cardio is 2 days, then 50% participation, then 75% participation in practice. No way Trevor could jump in and play the game on Saturday. That was probably day 12. Plus, he knows what's waiting on the other side with the NFL. So that's from my college football source, because I think we were all under the false impression that 10-day window, if he had mild symptoms on Wednesday of last week, and then I do the math, he'd be ready to go on Friday to play the game against Notre Dame on Saturday. But that is not going to be the case, and probably going to take himself out of the running for the Heisman. He could end up with a couple of national championships and one of the greatest resumes a college quarterback has ever had and not win the Heisman. I think he's going to have some nice consolation prizes there. But back to the Michigan loss, because this wasn't to Ohio State. This was to a Michigan State team that had just lost to Rutgers. This is worse than a loss to Ohio State, because Ohio State is a better team, has been a better program. Losing to Michigan State at home? They got Indiana coming up, then they got Wisconsin. But the seat has been warm. The question is, how hot does it get before Jim says, I'm going to leave, for the betterment of his alma mater? Or does Michigan say, it's just not working out? And his resume is pretty good, except for when it comes to these better teams, which sounds strange to say. Like, he beats the teams generally that he's supposed to beat. It's when he goes against the teams that he has to do something, you know, a little bit better, a little more miraculously, and they're not able to do that. And they've failed miserably. But Michigan State beats Michigan?
Yikes.
That one hurts far worse than getting blown out by Ohio State. You almost expect to lose to Ohio State. The question is, what's the margin? You do not expect to lose to Michigan State. And a Michigan State team that just lost to Rutgers. Yeah, Paul.
And usually going to Indiana for Michigan meant, all right, we'll get well here, get a nice 31-10 win.
Yep.
Indiana could be favored at home. I haven't seen a line yet, but it could be. And then Wisconsin, we don't know what Wisconsin is, but they're Michigan's got Wisconsin in 2 weeks. They lose three in a row.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, though, who's going to be the quarterback for Wisconsin, which might help Michigan, but Indiana favored at home. It's probably a pretty even. It's probably close to 1 or 2 points, I'm guessing. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm seeing Michigan minus three, but
okay.
I have to double check that because things are, you know, it's Monday. Things are all over the place.
But Michigan is playing at home against Indiana, correct?
Efforting.
Because okay, it's at Indiana, so Michigan by three. Michigan by three on the road. All right, phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. That LSU, oh, by the way, against Auburn, I didn't even realize it. Like, I didn't even factor in watching LSU. And lucky for LSU that it wasn't, you know, there for everybody to see. I just looked at the score on the bottom line. I went, wow. Wow. That was surprising. Yeah, McLevin.
You know, you guys said before the game that the LSU doesn't have that big of a runway after their title game. Like, wasn't last year so epic that Ed Orgeron and the whole community gets 5 years? Like when do they expect a winner again?
I don't know if this is a Gene Chizik type situation. Remember that? 2010 won the national title at Auburn. Then they went 8-5, and then you go 3-9. And then Gene Chizik is gone at Auburn. I don't know if that happens to Ed O. Ed's a great recruiter, but I know they lost a lot of players to the pros. They had a lot of players still there who were very good. I mean, this happens to Saban every year, right? Oh, he lost a ton of players to the pros, and he somehow finds another running back, another quarterback, a couple more wide receivers, a couple more linemen, linebackers. LSU, that's been a big, big surprise. Big disappointment there. All right, what's the poll question we're going with, McLevin?
Okay, I did the basically good record, but we don't believe in.
Oh, okay.
So the choices are the Bills at 6-2, the Titans at 5-2, the Colts at 5-2, the Green Bay Packers at 5-2, the Saints at 5-2, I believe, the Cardinals at 5-2, and the Rams at 5-3.
Over the next 21 days, the Rams play one game. Over the 18 days after that, they play four games. The Rams landed in Los Angeles late last night from Miami, and then they have their bye week. So between November 2nd and 22nd, they play one game, Seattle at home. Between November 23rd and December 10th, at Tampa, home with the Niners, at the Cardinals, Thursday night at home against the Patriots. How crazy has it been that the Rams, I think, have played 4 1:00 Eastern games, so 10 o'clock their time. That doesn't seem like a balanced schedule to me. And the Rams, they did everything but win yesterday. When you think about it, they dominated the Dolphins. They outgained them by more than 300 yards. And Tua didn't play well at all. And Miami ended up winning. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, is Jared Goff any good? I cannot tell week to week. He looked terrible yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's Miami with 8 first downs, 145 total yards. And Adam Schefter had the tweet, and it has to do with the Dolphins want to find out if Tua is a franchise quarterback. They want to find out right now. Because if he's not, or they get that feeling, they don't want to be 3 years in like Cleveland. Because I think Cleveland is looking at Baker Mayfield and saying, there's a big question mark out there. I'm not putting all this on Baker yesterday in those conditions. All I know is the Raiders played in the same conditions. But you have to win. You have to win those games. Might not be pretty. You have to win those games. But you want to find out right now. Cincinnati knows. Chargers know. Green Bay's not going to know for a while with Jordan Love. The Dolphins, with all those draft picks, they got 4 draft picks in the first 2 rounds. They want to know because Trevor Lawrence is there, and if he's viewed as a once in a generation quarterback, you don't want to miss your opportunity there. Washington reportedly is putting Dwayne Haskins on the market. Do you realize they probably couldn't get a 3rd round pick for Dwayne Haskins? This is when an owner gets involved and he doesn't know what he's doing. This happened with Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns. Got to have him. Owner had to have him. Daniel Snyder. Got to have Dwayne Haskins. He went to high school with my son. That's who we want. When owners get involved, when they think they know more than everybody else. Miami's going to try to find out what they have with Tua. And in case Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence is there because of the Texans pick, that's what this comes down to. Or if they bunch those picks together, would they be in the market for Trevor Lawrence? So that's just some of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes here. And that's why they pushed Tua in, because even though Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better quarterback than him right now, they want to know right now. Yeah, Paul.
And that Texans pick, the Laremy Tunsil that Miami has, they didn't expect it. Right now, that's the fourth pick of the draft.
Yeah.
As of right now, fourth pick of the draft is the trade pick. Miami has their own pick, was because they're 4-3, it would be about the 16th pick of the draft.
Yes, McClellan.
But the Texans aren't going to tank, though. That's the problem. Since they don't have their pick, they're going to try throughout. Where you're going to see the Jets and Jags start to pull their starters.
But they've been trying now, McLovin.
I know. But they
like they're really going to try.
They have easy. There's just wait till the end of this season with all the injuries. You're going to see some C teams out there. I think that I'd bet on the Texans in the second half because they have no motivation to tank like the NBA.
But I don't know who is truly tanking right now. Are the Jets tanking or are the Jets just being the Jets? Are they just bad? Is Jacksonville tanking or are they just being Jacksonville? I mean, that's what's kind of hard to figure out here. You know, Detroit is trying to win because, you know, if they don't win, Matt Patricia's gone, it feels like. Now, there's certain teams, you know, we thought that the Texans were going to be all in and trying to play hard because Bill O'Brien was trying to save his job. Well, he lost his job. And you don't have that pick now, so now you're going to play harder. I don't know if it matters or not. I just don't know how good they are. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, but they got at Jacksonville. They already killed Jacksonville. They almost beat Tennessee. They had at Cleveland. They're unfortunately for their Dolphins fans, there's a lot of winnable games. They have Deshaun, right?
I don't know if that's enough.
It's gonna all you need is two.
They're trying to trade Will Fuller? Like that doesn't sound like a team that's going, hey, you know what? Let's try to play the role of spoiler here.
All you need is three wins, and you're out of that field, Lawrence.
Yes, Paul.
What could be wild, I hate to bring this up, but the Dallas Cowboys could be 0-8 right now. They're 6 points away from being 0-8. Mm. They won 37-34 against New York, 40-39 against Atlanta. Mm. If it goes 6 points the other way, they're 0-8. Cowboys also have that DiNucci quarterback who's not helping the cause.
DiNucci!
If he loses a couple more, they could be in tank mode and be in a weird position to have a top five pick, which throws the Dak Prescott situation a huge curveball.
Is Dak's value going up each week?
But if they have a top four pick, his value goes down.
Mm. Yeah, McLovin.
I keep hearing analysts be like, oh my God, this would never happen with Dak Prescott. The team fought for him. They were 1-3 when Dak was in there. Their defense was still awful. Regardless, they couldn't win with Dak or without Dak this year.
I'm going to be interested in the offseason for some of these veteran quarterbacks. Does Matt Ryan end up with San Francisco? Here's one for you. And I'm going to ask Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback Insider. If Bill Belichick loves Jimmy Garoppolo so much, what would Bill Belichick give the Niners to get Jimmy Garoppolo back? Because Cam's not going to be there next year. I'm going to guess that Cam's not going to be there. And if they're not sold on Jared Stidham yet, then they're not going to be sold on. What if you say to the 49ers, we'll give you a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. And San Francisco can get out from underneath that. They could bring in Matt Ryan. They still have a Super Bowl-caliber team. What about Kirk D. Cousins reunited with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco? Where is Matthew Stafford next year? There's like four guys where you go, I don't know what's happening, but something's happening in the offseason here that I think will be mind-bending. I really feel that way. Yeah, McLovin.
And you got to remember, Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones could easily be on their way out.
Sam Darnold would be. I don't know about Daniel Jones.
I think he's like on Jameis Winston turnover pace. The Giants are wearing thin with him fumbling.
You know, speaking of Jameis Winston turnover rate, Carson Wentz has turned it over 16 times. 16 times halfway through the season. Welcome to Jameis Winston territory. And they're in first place. Oh, what a crazy, crazy season.
But there's something better about fumbles than interceptions. Like, you can't quantify. Jameis was throwing interceptions. Like, Carson fumbles, and people don't track quarterback fumbles as easily.
Well, we have, because Daniel Jones has an issue of fumbling, too. Maybe it's just the quarterback play in NFC East. Yeah, Paul.
The 49ers are 4-4, and they're in last place in the West. The Eagles are 3-4-1, and they're in first place in the East.
Jeremy in Iowa leads us off this hour, best and worst of the weekend. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got best and worst. Best or the worst first is my Iowa Hawkeyes forgetting how to play football over the weekend. And the best being the Steelers. I have two face masks that I wear. One is a Hawkeye face mask. One is a Steelers face mask. And needless to say, one of them gets used a lot more than the other. And a bonus best I found last night on Roku. They have started carrying the Peacock Network, so I can watch you there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate that. Nate in New York. Hi, Nate. What's on your mind today?
DP.
Nate.
What's going on?
How you doing?
Best of the weekend, the Bills. First time since 2011 that they beat the Patriots in Buffalo. Worst of the weekend is going to be the way that the Ravens and the Steelers game ended. I don't know. There was an injury on the field. So it would have either been adding time back on the clock to give the Ravens one more shot at it, or the Steelers should have been penalized for having too many men on the field or having an offsides. But they decided not to call either one.
Yeah. That was an interesting game. It wasn't pretty because the Steelers started out really slow and it looked like the Ravens were just going to run it down their throats. And then Roethlisberger came to life in the second half. It hinges on him. If Ben is even good, that's a Super Bowl contending team. When Ben is great, boy, that's when they're really dangerous because that defense is really good. And If you have, you know, a couple of big plays on offense, because I don't care how good your defense is, you still have to be able to score, it feels like, 24 points a game now in the NFL. Just feels like that's almost, if you can't get there, then you're not going to win these games. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, Albert Breer, the NFL insider for Monday Morning Quarterback. Is anybody going to be traded here? What does he think of my quarterbacking carousel with maybe Matt Ryan? And I don't want Matt Ryan to leave Atlanta. I had Falcon fans who got upset, like, why do you keep trying to get Matt Ryan out of Atlanta? I don't want him to leave. I just tell you that I can see it. And then when I ask, you know, sources, could you see this happening? And when they say, well, Matt Ryan, but don't rule out Kirk Cousins maybe in San Francisco. And then I want to ask him, what if, and Bill Belichick loves him some Jimmy Garoppolo, like he hand-delivered him to Kyle Shanahan. Instead of sending him to the Cleveland Browns. Remember that. He didn't want him to go to Cleveland. He didn't want him to go into that organization. Would the Niners trade Jimmy Garoppolo back to the Patriots? Take a break. Coming up on 19 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. LifeLock cyber attacks. You know, the victim, Barnes & Noble. The breach potentially exposed customer data, email addresses, billing and shipping addresses, telephone numbers, transaction histories, and the attack also impacted its Nook ebook services. Man, it's just a matter of time. And I know that you're kind of playing Russian roulette if you don't take this serious with cybercrime. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put so much information on the internet. You could miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit. That's why it's great that there's LifeLock, helping you detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses. LifeLock sees threats you might miss on your own. Join now, save up to 25% off your first year. The promo code is Patrick, 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com. Promo code Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Mr. Mercedes, a Peacock exclusive drama series based on the best-selling trilogy by Stephen King. Detective Bill Hodges, coaxed out of retirement into a thrilling chase with a serial killer, Mr. Mercedes. Full episodes available now right here on Peacock. Start streaming today. I watched the first season of that. I'm not big on being scared. It was really good, but Mr. Mercedes on Peacock. More phone calls coming up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Yes, Paulie?
I hesitate to bring this up, but a neighbor, not far from where I live, not a neighbor who's close to me, but I was I heard about this family does a haunted house, almost like the front of their house is kind of this haunted little maze, and the local neighborhood kids come through it. And it's becoming quite well known in the Connecticut area. Mm-hmm. And the dad is like at the end in kind of that Jason mask, mm-hmm, from Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And then if a kid makes the wrong turn at the end, and instead of going to where the candy and the treats are, he runs into the Jason mask guy and he fires up a chainsaw. And I thought it was, well, it's like a kid's chainsaw and there's a chainsaw sound. It's an actual chainsaw.
Hmm.
And I don't know if I'm ranting somebody out here because I'm not giving any addresses, but that seems frowned upon these days.
Yeah.
That seems like it would not fly, but it's flying. It's been a couple years in.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. I just had to bring that up to you guys because I was shocked by it.
Yeah. We tried to do a haunted house years ago when my kids were young, and we actually had grown-ups who had, you know, body paint, blood all over them, and, you know, hands were missing, and so they weren't actually missing. Like, we take our Halloween seriously, but we don't say you got to lose a hand if you want to be involved in this haunted house. And we told the kids, gathered the kids, and we said, you got to go up into the attic, and there's a guy who's dead. You got to find... And my wife is explaining this as if, it, you know, this is like a happy story. And you're going to go up there and you're going to hear noises and it's going to be so scary and so creepy and you're going to see blood and you're going to, and I'm thinking, these kids are going to not go upstairs. So she got done. She goes, now let's go upstairs. And they're, all the kids screamed and said, no way that they stayed downstairs. They wanted to go outside. And then I said, you got another way to present this? And then my wife goes, I don't know if I could tell them another story based off what I just told them. And I just said, look, there's great candy upstairs and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, there's grownups up there and you're going to have fun. And then they slowly, you know, step by step went up there, and then they got up there and it was okay. But I said to my wife, you can't, you're not going to be the one doing the presentation here. And then you're going to go up and you're going to see blood. People are going to be missing hands. Who's with me? All right. Let's bring in Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter. What's that backdrop? What's in that door? What's behind that door?
In that floor, right? Well, the door, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't in the shop before. You've seen the Ohio State stuff. I've got the double black diamond back there. You've seen the door. You've seen the rest of it. I'm not sure if you've seen the door.
Yeah. I just want to.
There's nothing behind the door. I actually locked it so my kids can't come in first.
All right. Give me the trades that should happen tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, I think really you're looking at some teams that you wouldn't typically see as sellers out there. And so, you know, the Patriots, I think, would be a team to watch. They've informed other teams that, you know, almost they're willing to listen on almost anyone on their roster. The Eagles and Vikings are two more now. I don't know if Philly's approach changes because they won last night and they're in first place now. But the Eagles have sort of let other teams know that they're willing to listen on some of their veteran players. They've got cap issues coming down the road in 2021 with the cap going down next year. The Vikings are the other one that are sort of interesting. Now, again, they're another team that played well yesterday, but, you know, I think they've sort of kind of come to the realization that this is it for their core. You know, the guys like Harrison Smith and Kyle Rudolph and Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr, like they've sort of reached the end with that group. And so they're sort of looking to turn the page now too, where, you know, you could see certain players like Rudolph himself become available. So I think that the interesting thing about this year's trade deadline is you have some teams that have typically been contenders, that have typically been buyers at this time of year, now sort of kind of dipping their toe in the water on being sellers.
The trades that will happen.
I mean, right now, Dan, like what I've heard over the last couple of days is the prices are too high and that teams are wanting too much. Now, you know, typically the way this happens is over the last 24 hours, you'll see prices come down a little bit. You know, the Patriots have toyed with the idea of trading Stephon Gilmore. I don't know if they'll be able to get value, but that's a big name for you out there. I think Kyle Rudolph could wind up getting moved. The Jets are open for business. You could see one of their tackles, you know, maybe somebody like George Fant, because there's such an offensive line shortage across the league, get moved. I don't know if there's going to be a ton of activity. And I usually feel that way. Like a lot of names get bandied about and you don't normally see a ton of activity. So, you know, I think what you're going to see tomorrow is probably a bunch of teams trying to drop salary ahead of 2021 and the asking price right now is a little high to get those guys in the move. We'll see if it comes down.
Has Washington made Dwayne Haskins available?
I mean, he's been available. Yeah. I don't know what they can get for him right now. I mean, I think this is more kind of checking out to see if he has value. He's really not in a good way right now in that place. And, you know, I think that there's just a lot he has to fix, and not just from a playing standpoint. You know, I don't think they were real happy with the way he carried himself after he got benched. And so, you know, I think that that's part of the equation here is, you know, how he's going to be professionally, and maybe putting him on the block sort of sends a message to him that you're not untouchable here, and that we can move you. And so, you know, Washington's going to look at a bunch of their veterans. You know, guys like Ryan Kerrigan and Ryan Anderson are also available. And Dwayne Haskins' name has come up. You know, again, I just don't know that you're going to be able to get much value for a guy who's on a first-round contract and hasn't played very well.
Isn't this the owner's fingerprints on this draft pick?
Yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, what I had heard leading up to that draft was actually that Jay Gruden, like Daniel Jones, who obviously wasn't available to them, so it became a moot point. But that, you know, some of the coaches like Daniel Jones a little bit more than Haskins. And I'm sure you know the story about Daniel Snyder's son having gone to high school at the Bullis School in Maryland with Dwayne Haskins. So there was that feel there that, you know, that Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder were really behind the Dwayne Haskins pick because he's local. And it sounds silly. It's amazing that this could happen. Like, the biggest investment that you could possibly make, right, Dan, is in a first-round quarterback, and you're making it based on the fact that the kid grew up near the stadium. But that was the story that was circulating at the time.
Speaking of Washington, John Bostic gets fined only $12,000 on his hit on Andy Dalton. Like, where's the deterrent? 12 grand?
Yeah.
If I'm a defensive player, I'll pay 12 grand to get a star quarterback out of a game. Not saying Andy Dalton's a star quarterback, but what's the deterrent?
Well, you know, I think the way they looked at that, there are a couple of things there. Like, I think number one, it was in the context of a play. Now, was it dirty? I think so, but it was within the context of a play. So it's a little different than like the Javon Wims situation from yesterday. Number two, if you look at it, I mean, I think in some of these cases, there is sympathy for when the quarterback slides a little late and a defensive player has his momentum going. And so absolutely, that was an ugly looking hit. To me, it felt like it was dirty. But if you really watch it, I think you can make the case that by the time Andy had kind of gone into his slide, Bostic's momentum was going forward. And so I think in some of these situations, when it's within the context of the play, like if it's not extracurricular and it's actually within like the context of the football itself, the league can, you know, I think the league acts with a little more sympathy towards the defensive player. And I think that's what this was as much as anything else. I don't think it was the fallout, the result of the hit, like the action itself. I think more than anything else, it was sort of like looking at it and slowing it down and saying that slide was a little late, so we're going to give the guy a break here.
Follow me on this. It's never too soon to talk about next year, but Belichick loves Jimmy Garoppolo, right?
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Okay, so what do you think would prevent Belichick from calling Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and saying, what do you want for Garoppolo?
Nothing. I don't think there's any. I mean, if they decide they're going to move on from Cam Newton, I would think Jimmy Garoppolo would be near the top of the list. You know, they offered Jimmy Garoppolo a contract extension. I don't know how much that's been out there, but, you know, over the summer of 2017, I think it was that he got traded that fall, right? Over the summer of 2017, they offered him sort of a Band-Aid contract, you know, the sort of contract that like the Saints gave Taysom Hill or, you know, back in the day, the Eagles gave Kevin Cobb, where it was sort of a short-term contract to get you to the next one. So they liked him enough to try to extend him and try to keep both him and Tom Brady on the roster in 2017. You know, and really part of the whole deal, Dan, was that, you know, I mean, it was sort of communicated to Bill, not that you have to trade Jimmy, but that trading Tom was going to be a tough sell with ownership. And so it was a complicated situation at the time. I think Bill's affection for Jimmy is there. There's the personal connection, of course. And I think like something like that would really come down to whether or not the Niners have a better option. Like, I don't think this is going to be the Niners looking to get out from underneath Jimmy Garoppolo. And we can go through the whole thing that happened last offseason again, if you want. I think more than anything else, like, this would be about the Niners somehow having a better option, whether it's Kirk Cousins or they're drafting in the top 10 and it's Trey Lance from North Dakota State or something like that. Like, the availability of Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think it's going to come down to Jimmy Garoppolo himself as much as it's going to come down to what other options the Niners have out there.
And I brought up Kirk Cousins reuniting with Kyle Shanahan, yeah. Matt Ryan reuniting with right. Kyle Shanahan. Like, it feels like if you said Matt Ryan was on the 49ers and they're healthy, I would make them the NFC, you know, Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. And really, I think with Matt Ryan, you would be doing the same thing that you're doing with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Which it's like, you know, you have Jimmy Garoppolo for now. And I think I may have made this analogy with you before, but it's sort of like Alex Smith in Kansas City, right? Like Andy traded for Alex Smith and he liked Alex Smith and they won a lot of games with Alex Smith. But really what Alex Smith was doing for you was buying you time until you ran into somebody you really loved and you were willing to go all in on. And that was Patrick Mahomes. And so I think, you know, the same way Jimmy Garoppolo is that guy for Kyle Shanahan right now, I think Matt Ryan could absolutely be that guy as well. He's not that old. It's 33. I think he's 34, 35 years old right now. I'd have to look that up. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think Matt Ryan could be an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. And there's obviously a comfort level there between the two. I think we just have to wait to see who's running the Falcons. Like, until we know who's running the Falcons and who's going to be making these decisions in January, it's really hard to tell how realistic it is.
Sam Darnold's days with the Jets numbered?
They depend on where the Jets are picking, I would say. If the Jets have the number one overall pick, Sam Darnold gets traded. Because Trevor Lawrence is a generational prospect, like a once-in-a-decade prospect in the vein of Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, John Elway.
But will you find out before? Like, you have to make sure you know Trevor Lawrence is going to go into the draft before you do right. anything.
Right. Well, yeah, and that'll be, I mean, the deadline, I believe, is middle of January.
Okay.
Right? So you'll know. I mean, and Trevor Lawrence could leverage that. I'm not saying he will, but he could leverage that. Like, he could say, like, I don't want to play for the Jets, so I'm not going to declare until you commit to trading the pick. Like, something wild like that. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's in Trevor Lawrence's head. It doesn't seem like it'd be of his nature to do that. But if he really looked at it and said, I don't want to play there, he would have some leverage to do that because he could, you know, say, if you don't deal a pick, I'm going back to school. So, you know, this thing could get a little complicated. I don't think it necessarily will, but yeah, I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence, I think there are very few teams that would trade that pick. Like, I think you are going, based realistically on who has who at quarterback and where those teams are in the standings, I think I think you're going to have to be the worst team in the league to get Trevor Lawrence. And so I think if Trevor Lawrence becomes available to the Jets, it's academic. You trade Sam Darnold. I think if you're picking second or third, that's something else. And then it's like, all right, now we have to really look at this and compare, like, Sam Darnold against, say, Justin Fields.
I'm just wondering about what's going on in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. It feels like the time frame is sped up now with these quarterbacks. They want to find out. And that's why Miami's, you know, putting Tua in, because you're going to have four draft picks in the first two rounds and you're going to have the Texans draft picks. So you want to know, is Tua our guy?
Right.
Do the Browns know if Baker Mayfield is their guy?
I don't think so yet. And I think one thing that really hurts Baker is, you know, the investment level of the people who are going to be making those decisions. The investment level in Baker Mayfield of the general manager, Andrew Berry, and the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, is very low. Berry was there when they drafted Mayfield, but he wasn't really a part of that part of the process. That was really John Dorsey. And Kevin Stefanski wasn't around at all. And so, you know, you have both those guys who are evaluating a player that they didn't pick, that they have no investment to, that their job security isn't tied to. You know, and, you know, I think the other piece of this is, you know, you look at where they are contractually. And this is the way it works. This is why that timetable gets kind of sped up, Dan, is after the third year, you've got to make a decision on the fifth-year option. And in the new CBA, that fifth-year option is fully guaranteed. And so one way or another, going into that fourth year, you've got to declare where you're at on that quarterback. Like, if you remember last year, the Bears said all these nice things about Mitch Trubisky. Then they declined his fifth-year option, and we all knew where they stood, right? Like, yeah. So, like, this is the time. Like, after 3 years, based on the way these contracts work, this is when you have to declare. That goes for this year, at least. That goes for Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. It goes for Sam Darnold with the Jets. It goes for Josh Allen in Buffalo. And, of course, it goes for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, too, which will be a little bit of an easier decision, I would think.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I keep seeing, like, Sam Darnold with the Steelers. You know, that's the eventual successor to Ben. Or, you know, what's Chicago do? the Chicago trade for somebody. It just, like, is Matthew Stafford going to be in Detroit? You're going to have a new coaching regime probably brought in there. It just feels like there's four or five quarterbacks, and not even including the draft.
That's the thing, though, is like I think part of this, Dan, is that we're in this golden age for quarterbacks. If you look back at like the last, I think it's like the last 5 years, the number was 17 quarterbacks have like been drafted in the top, you know, in the first round. And of those 17, it's something like 11, you could say, like, legitimately have made it already and are like entrenched as like, okay, like this is our long-term starter. So I think there's a combination of players really working out on that end, right? And then you have a bunch of older guys who are hanging around longer than we've ever seen before, guys like Brady and Breeze. And I think what it's led to is there's almost more supply than there is demand across the NFL now, which is why we were in that situation last year where you had Phillip Rivers make it to the market, Tom Brady make it to the market. You had like a bunch of guys who probably would have gotten real money in years past, like Jameis Winston and Cam Newton, sitting on the market available for a while. So, you know, it's just an interesting situation at the position in general. And somebody like Sam Darnold could wind up being really, you know, attractive. I mean, you look back at some of the teams that really liked him coming out in 2018. I'll give you another one. The Broncos loved him. The Broncos would have taken him fifth overall. If you're the Broncos right now, based on what you've seen from Drew Lock, and he looked pretty good yesterday, like, that's sort of a decision you'd have to make, right? Like, if he came available and you're John Elway, it's like, yeah, we really like Drew Lock, but, you know, maybe Sam Darnold is behind door number two, and that would make some sense for us. So I think, like, you know, that game of musical chairs we had at quarterback last year, I don't think it'll be just the same, because obviously last year Brady was a free agent. But I think you could see some interesting movement with some of these younger guys.
Great to catch up with you. As always, we appreciate your time, Albert. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan.
You can now unlock the door. Whatever is behind you, you can now unlock the door.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know you were still talking.
Yes.
My kids actually snuck in twice during quarantine, so I wanted to spare you guys the third time.
All right. Thank you, Albert. That's Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, works for the MMQB and NBC Sports Boston. Nothing to see behind the door in Albert Breer's house. Sure. Our best and worst of the weekend coming up next year on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Cleveland Browns lose at home to the Raiders. And I know the windy conditions, they affected the Cleveland Browns. We never factor in the other side. You know, somehow the Raiders won. Cleveland is built to play in weather like this, not the Raiders. Cleveland's now 5-3. I have no idea how good they are. This second half of the season is going to tell you an awful lot. Going to tell you an awful lot about Baker Mayfield. Is this team a playoff team? Which I think they are. But that doesn't mean I think they're good. They might just end up with 9 wins. So they have a bye week. They got Houston and Philly at home, Jacksonville on the road. They have a chance to be one of the three wild card teams right now. But you're watching that team now. Do they trade for Will Fuller since they don't have Odell Beckham? I was just curious about that. It's a team that should be good. I just don't know if they're – I don't know what their philosophy is. Some days there are some games where you go, okay, they got to figure it out. Run the ball first, run first, then set up play action. And I'm still waiting for that defense to be good, or at least consistent. But there's so many of these teams where you just don't know. And it's going to change. You might think you know now, and then 3 weeks from now, you go, I was wrong about that. Like, if Pittsburgh loses two in a row, we're going to go, yep, I knew it. Like, it just feels like it's very tenuous here. Let's go around the room. Best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'll start with you.
Other than the Broncos' big victory comeback over the Chargers, Clemson running back Travis Etienne breaks the all-time career ACC rushing mark in the win over Boston College. He beat Ted Brown, who had it at NC State, who rushed for 4,602 yards in his career back in the mid-70s. Etienne also set the NCAA record for most games with a touchdown at 42. Worst of the weekend, Mike Leach's Mississippi State Bulldogs humiliated 41-0 against Alabama in the first three games of the season, 21-14 loss to Arkansas, 24-2 to Kentucky, 28-14 A&M.
Yeah.
Not going well.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Thank you, Todd. McClellan?
Best is going to be Seahawks receiver DK Metcalf for just being the best receiver in the NFL and for supporting Russell Wilson for MVP. They're a wonderful duo. Worst is Twitter firing every quarterback. I swear to God, my Twitter feed said, bench Nick Foles, he let it come back. Bench Carson Wentz, he won the game. And definitely bench Drew Locke. There was a ton of that, and he won that game.
Yeah. And then Albert Breer saying, hey, I wouldn't rule out Sam Darnold in Denver with the Broncos.
You have any idea on Drew Locke? No one seems to know.
No, I've just, like, we're told these things. Like, that this team is really good. Okay. This player is really good. Okay. We're told Drew Locke is a franchise quarterback. I don't know. I haven't seen enough yet. Seton O'Connor, best and worst.
My best was this absolutely insane play in Rutgers playing number 17, Indiana. Did you see this play?
Yes, I did.
Unbelievable. Rutgers is down 16. It's 4th and 32. There's 2 minutes left in the game, and they're like,
Vedral dumps it underneath to Shamin Jones. They want a little lateral play here for Bo Melton. They'll keep it hot for Vedral. Once more. Hey, big fella. Raekwon O'Neal, take this. Oh, my goodness. Watch out. Still no whistles. Shamin Jones cuts it back inside. He's just tripped up. Ball still live. Vedral still keeps it going. Watch out! There are no whistles. There are no flags. This counts. Bo Melton on the business end of the most amazing play you may ever see.
There was 8 laterals on the play. The play took 33 seconds long. It was just truly remarkable. My worst of the weekend, though, unfortunately,
but
one of those laterals.
Called it back.
One of those laterals went forward, so they called it back.
Buzzkill. Which, I don't know. It didn't look like it was going forward to me, but dang, was that fun.
Well, you can tell the announcers are amused by it, and it's kind of okay, kind of an entertaining way here, and then all of a sudden they realize they're going to score a touchdown here. Hey, big man, you know, and you're just throwing it back. And
there's at one point where one of the linemen, this dude is just massive. He's gigantic. Yes. He takes the ball with both hands and, like, pitches it over his head backwards as far as he possibly could. So funny.
Paulie, best and worst.
Friday night, Minnesota Golden Gophers, Maryland Terrapins. Fun game. I love when running backs have 200-plus yards. Muhammad Ibrahim for Minnesota, 207 and 4 touchdowns. And your boy, Dan, Jake Funk for Maryland, 216 and a touchdown. And here's the other one is Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers. They are rolling. They're 6-0. They beat Georgia State 51-0. They've got 5 more games on the schedule. They could go 11-0. They're ranked 15th. If somehow there was an 8-team playoffs, your Chanticleers could get the 8th spot. And can you imagine, like, Bama, Chanticleers, round one?
They're entertaining. That's an entertaining team.
Good-looking uniforms.
Yeah, entertaining team. More phone calls coming up, final hour. We're going to learn together how to pronounce Clemson's starting quarterback's name because he's starting again against Notre Dame. I gave you the update on why Trevor Lawrence will not be available. We thought it was a 10-day isolation, quarantine. It's more like 14 days. I'll repeat what I brought to your attention in the first hour. Final hour coming up, Dan Patrick Show.